I had it on my heart to speak today. I didn't know he'd taken up Luke 22. My brother asked me to take the meeting. He phoned me on Thursday, I believe. And I had some thoughts from Exodus chapter 12, which I'd like to turn to. You know, the Word of God is so full of meaning, and it's so potent that our hearts can hardly take in sometimes what it means, and I believe we can't exhaust the depth of what it means. But it says, you know, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. I believe the Lord would have our hearts respond to his heart. I believe God our Father would have our hearts respond to his heart and find our delights in the one that delights his own heart. And I believe the enemy of our souls, he will rob Christ of every glory, of every joy, of every comfort he could. And if he could destroy that little leftover, you might say, of saints that God has preserved, to whom he reveals his Son to, and put in their hearts to be gathered around him to remember him in death, he would destroy that too. And I believe by God's grace, if we're here, it's because God has preserved us, not because of our faithfulness, because of his faithfulness. Dear brother, I know he's a young brother in the Lord, and he been reading some stuff on the internet, been affected by preaching, doctrine, you might say, and he gave me a pamphlet. It was really a 150-page pamphlet, quite a work there, on post-tribulation, the Lord coming at the end of the tribulation. The brother who put that together, he's very capable, and he's ordered the verses, and he's gone around the hurdles, and he's very convincing, you know. And so I read the paper to help this brother, and he didn't convince me. And I put little notes there, and I still have to meet with this brother to talk these things over. But you know, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And if this teaching that he's brought before us is true, we wouldn't be saying, come. We would say, well, maybe the man of sin appear, and we can see all these things happen, and our hearts wouldn't be longing for the Lord to come. So Satan would rob you and I, and rob the Lord Jesus of the mutual enjoyment of the heart, and the mutual expectancy, moment by moment, to see him face to face and him to see you, dear ones. And I like what the Lord's helped tonight, this afternoon rather, in Exodus chapter 12, to just go over these things momentarily. Exodus chapter 12. We'll read from a few verses in chapter 11. Verse 4, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, and none shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonderful these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go from his land, of his land. Chapter 12, verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head, with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborns in the land of Egypt, both and beast, man and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast, an ordinance forever. Verse 24, And ye shall observe this thing of an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? Then ye shall say, It is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. Well, perhaps there were remarks made yesterday about this passage in the Old Testament. I trust I won't be repeating some of the things that were said. We spoke this morning of the 10th day to the 14th day, those 3.5 years of the Lord's public ministry where they could see he was that lamb without spot or blemish. Struck me in this chapter, you know, in the land of Israel in those days, there might have been, I don't know how many households there were. There were 600,000 soldiers, you might say, footmen, so maybe 300,000 homes. So how many lambs were slain that night in Egypt? 300,000. No problem. But not once in this chapter is the word lamb used in the plural. It's in the singular. The Spirit of God has penned these words for us now as we read this, and God is bringing our attention, as we have in this meeting, to that one who's the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even it says there in verse 5, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. The sheep and the goat are in the plural. You take it. God has one lamb in view in Exodus chapter 12. The one who would come to fulfill that which was a type of here, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to go back in Egypt together. Let's go back in Egypt at that time and that night. It's going to be a terrible night. It said there was such a cry in Egypt. There was never one like that before. Wasn't going to be one after. The Jewish household, the Hebrew household, I would think the Father would have made sure, if he didn't do it himself, he would have made sure that that lamb was in the house on the 10th day, and that he was going to be slain on that night between the two evenings, and that he would make sure that the blood was on the door posts and on the lintel. Maybe the little boy says to his dad, he has a firstborn son, he says to his dad, "Why are you doing that, Father?" "Oh, because I love you." I'm sure Pharaoh loved this boy. Pharaoh's neighbors loved their boys and their sons. Would you think today you'd say, "Their son died. Good for that." And sometimes we preach the gospel and you hear, "They're going to burn in hell forever." You know, the disciples of the Lord said, "You want us to command the fire from heaven?" He says, "You know not what spirits are about you." Is that what God wants to do? Call down the fire from heaven on the guilty ones? You and I would have been burned a long time ago. It was a solemn night in Egypt. So they sat around the table and they ate the roasted lamb, waiting for the judgment of the Lord to come and they be spared. The little boy says to his daddy, "Dad, can I go play outside?" "No, not tonight. Can you and my brother go outside and play soccer?" Not tonight. "Can I ask my little Egyptian friend neighbor if we could go out play with marbles or something?" "Not tonight." "Anything wrong with playing with marbles or playing soccer?" "Or nothing wrong with that. But not tonight." Wouldn't you agree with that? It was a solemn night. A night to be remembered, which they didn't remember very well because they didn't celebrate the Passover very often. So the Lord graciously, that chapter, Luke 22, he's got his disciples around him, and this is the last Passover. He says, "With desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." They made ready. They must have gotten a lamb, and they did all these things that were prescribed in the law of Moses. Not a word in Luke about that, because the true Passover lamb is there. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed. He's the lamb without spot and without blemish. He's right there. God himself in the person of his Son, with desire. You know that man in the Old Testament there, he took that lamb for his only begotten son, or firstborn son, I should say. He was happy in the morning. His son was still there. Judgment had passed, and his son was still there. I can't imagine the thoughts in his heart. You think of Abraham when God had him rehearse what he was going to do himself. The thoughts going through Abraham's heart as a father. What was God doing? Oh, God was opening his heart to Abraham in the measure he could. And he's opening his heart to the children of Israel in the measure he could. And in Luke 22, the Lord's opening his heart to us in a measure he could. And in what measure do our hearts answer to his? The Lord said to the children of Israel there, when you have this feast, when you do this remembrance, your children will say, "What mean ye by this feast?" Can you tell your children? Can you tell your Christian friends? Can you tell anyone about what this means without having emotion in your heart. And maybe if you're French, your nose runs and you have tears in your eyes. Can you? Have we? Have we argued about that? Have we divided over views about that? How can that be, brethren? To that lamb, there was nothing left in the morning. Completely burned. Exodus 12, the fire exhausted the lamb. Nothing left of it. New Testament, the lamb exhausted the fire. It's finished. He's on that cross and the fire is finished. And he enters willfully into death. The Son of God, after suffering what you and I would have suffered for eternity, during those 3 hours of darkness. That's what happened. Means something to you when you remember the Lord? You know? We're religious creatures. When I was in Catholic Church, we would have to commune once a year. At Easter, that was. In French, it's Pauk. It's really Passover in English. But at Easter, you had to commune. You had to take the host there. Or, if you didn't take the host on Easter once a year, you're going to hell. Unless you repent and confess. So you took it. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me? No. What was the sufferings for me? No, nothing like that. Religious duty, something I had to do. I was doing this for God. Remembrance of the Lord is remembering what the Lord has done for us. And it's going to move your heart. It should move your heart. And should produce worship. Just flowing. From hearts overflowing. The glory of that person and what he went through. And the marvel of it all. He wants us to be there. To be so occupied. You know, in the glory, oh, we're going to sing His worth, His glory. We're never going to forget. All the believers in heaven, same fullness of enjoyment. And if Satan had his way, no believer on the earth would have any measure of that enjoyment. But God will have His way, and He has chosen to have a testimony and to reveal that to some poor hearts like mine and yours. That the Lord would have something of the fruit of the travail of His soul before He sees the fullness of it. Am I off? Is this really what this is all about? Or am I off in the field somewhere? My thoughts are getting lost. Or my emotions overcoming my mind. I'll let you answer that. So I said, the little boy says on that night, you know, well, why don't you tell your Egyptian friend, tell his father to go get a lamb and to get some blood, put it on the door, you know. You're my friend. What's going to happen is terrible. Maybe my dad can help you. I don't know. Well, there was no provision for that in Exodus chapter 12. Now, but your neighbor, the fellow, the girl you work with, the guy at school beside you, people you see every day, is there a provision for them? There's a provision for them. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Are you going to tell them about the blood of the Lamb? There are dark clouds on the horizon. We're going home soon. Wonderful. What about those that are left behind? Do we care? Does He care? And if He doesn't care, then We don't need to care. But if he cares, like he cared for you and he cared for me, we should care. Well, you know, we get the privilege of remembering the Lord week by week. This was once a year, and they didn't keep it very well. And I guess they kind of lost a sense of how the Lord had delivered them. And they never entered into it very much. But John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And we've been introduced in that now, having the Lord Jesus our Savior. And I would suggest to you to take this picture here in Exodus 12, and as we consider the remembrance of the Lord week by week, not to consider it one event on Sunday morning and then another event the next Sunday morning, the same event that we kind of forget about, and the Lord reminds us in grace. A Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the same evening, the night that we are in now, when the absence of the one who's the Son, S-U-N, the light of the world, he's left us here in the night as light shining for him. Shouldn't that make us sober, concerned? There was a concern here, the Father, for his firstborn. God, our Father, would share with us his concern, his thoughts about his Son. Precious privilege. And God, our Father, would share with us his thoughts about his sons and daughters and his concerns for them. Our Lord Jesus would share with us his thoughts and his concerns for his church. You know, it might just be because we're getting older. It might just be because this is more prevalent in society as a whole, that many of our wives are sick or have been sick, or the Lord has taken many of them home. Not a subject I like to talk about, but it seems to me over the past several years there's been so many. And we are very thankful, my wife and I, that the Lord really gave us a real small measure of testing there. And we really feel for those that are going through much deeper waters. But there's so many. And surely through all that, the Lord's able to sustain each one and give grace. But I wonder in my own soul if the Lord wasn't telling us through what we're experiencing some of the concerns he has for his wife, for the church. And you know, it's a wonderful privilege to be at the Lord's table. I have no doubt that's what it is. And to break the bread in remembrance of him on the ground of the one body, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That body takes up all those that are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And perhaps we could examine ourselves and see if our hearts were as large in considering them that way. We need that. Not to be liberal, not to give up the truth in any measure, no compromise, but enlarged hearts. Many of our dear brothers and sisters in error and bad teaching, oh, may they be part of concerns of our hearts, because they are, I believe, concern of the Lord's heart. And to, I mentioned this before, but concern of the Lord's heart, the interests of Jesus Christ, not only for his church, but for so many lost ones. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's left us here for many different purposes, but one of them is to make known his love, his forgiveness, his goodness, the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. It's manifested in that person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been drawn to him. Don't you think others could be drawn to him if they see something of him in you? Or the way you speak of him? Maybe have them read something or see something or attend something. You could draw them too. He's drawn you. He's drawn me. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Proverbs 19:22 in the French Bible, it says, what draws to a man is his kindness. It's different in English, but the thought is there. Well, he would draw all men unto him. He will in the end. They're all going to be gathered before him. A lot of them standing before the judge, because he will have rejected him. So, I'd just like to say a few words on things that would distract us from this excellent privilege. And I trust we continue to value it from week to week. And we don't forget the Lord, you know, from Sunday afternoon to next Sunday morning, that he's present in our hearts. He's warmed our hearts, and we go from the time of refreshment and worship in his presence filled with wonder and a spirit of worship and a desire to have him known all around us. Let's read a verse in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Well, I know we speak oft times of this portion. Martha telling the Lord what to do. Could happen to you, could happen to me. Little word there, much. She was cumbered with much. I think of the sin of much. The thing itself isn't bad. The problem is the much. There's too much. There she is. Serving the Lord too much. Can that happen? She was serving the Lord too much. Yes. There was perspiration involved. Human energy. And she was so devoted. Motives were good. But it was too much. And it ended up her telling the Lord what he should tell somebody else what she should do. Well, it was a good thing she was doing. All she needed was to just realign things. And we need that. We need realignment. Rebalancing sometimes. We're too much of this and not enough of that. And we need that too. One brother told me once, he said, you know, the Lord has gathered us around himself, but he's not to preach the gospel, you know. It's really just for worship. I'd be sad if we lost sight that the Lord has left us here too to be witnesses for him and to speak of one who should so fill our hearts we should overflow to the Father and to our brothers and sisters, and we should overflow to the poor lost ones who are going to have a cry like that cry in Egypt. This was a good thing she had too much of. Some of the things in life are necessities. Let's read Luke chapter 22 and Luke 21, verse 34. Luke 21, 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. Our Lord is speaking of a future day, but I think we could take to heart this warning, take heed unto yourselves. Overcharged, made heavy is the meaning there. It's like the disciples in the garden, you know, when they were supposed to watch with the Lord, they had too much to eat and drink, and they were heavy, and they fell asleep. Too much food or drink. And they just, the natural man has, you know, we have to digest, and digestion takes a lot of energy. That's why as you get older, after mealtime, oftentimes you get drowsy because you're going to digest your food, and so your energy goes to the stomach, who's busy processing all these fine elements, you know? So the more you eat, the more you process, the more you process, the more you're drowsy. Especially during meeting. So too much. Too much food, too much drink. James chapter 2. It says of Mary, she was distracted by much service in Mr. Darby's version. Distracted. You know, we need leisure times, and the Lord understands that, and there's nothing wrong with playing sports or whatever and having some relaxation. But some things are distracting in a negative way. In a sense, what are they distracting from? And that's what was wrong with Martha. She was distracted from enjoying the Lord by her service. She had too much service. Where Mary had the better part. She was sitting at the Lord's feet, enjoying the Lord. And I'm sure she didn't stay there. She got up in time, and I'm sure she served the Lord with purpose of heart also. Well, distraction in themselves, in many cases, they're not bad. But if they're distracting from more important things, then they're not positive, they're negative. But there are distractions that are negative in themselves. So in James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This world has umpteen distractions of this nature. Bad distractions. Distractions that your heart and mine, our natural hearts, can respond to. And there's just one answer to these propositions that you get. In the billboards and the music and whatever is proposed from this world, of corruption and violence? The answer is no. Short, easy to repeat, no. No to this, no to no. Dear brother in the Lord, I remember I wasn't saved yet, and I wanted him to come to a social event. And I tried. I was a good salesman. I tried every argument in the book and persuaded him and this and that, and he just kept saying, no. And you know, he never came. He never came. He was freed. A no of freedom says, no. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to taste. I'm not going to do. No. A no of victory. Yes to the Lord. And whatever is proposed here that's not from God, that gives every good and perfect gift. No. You want to be polite? Say, no, thank you. No. I like repeating that word. No. I often do it in my head. I drive down and these crazy thoughts come. No. But then, you see, these would draw us away. These things would draw us away from the enjoyment of the Lord, bring sorrow in our lives, break our fellowship with the Lord, bring sorrow in the lives of those that we love, grieve the Lord, grieve our brethren. No. But then we can be drawn away in another way. And I'd like to look at that for a few moments in Acts chapter 20. You know, in Acts chapter 20, when Paul stayed in Troas, he stayed for a week there. And if you read, I'm not going to read that portion, but when the disciples were gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread, they broke bread twice. I'm just reading into it, but, you know, they broke bread in the upper room, and then that was interrupted, and Paul went down and he picked up Eutychus and he brought him back up there and went back up in the room and he preached until the morning and he broke bread. They broke bread at night and they broke bread before the morning. That's exactly what happened in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They were breaking bread in the first century according to Paul's instructions, and then that just disappeared. And the Lord in mercy in the 1800s, he just woke up one and another, and there you have brethren gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ to remember him in death. And there it is. And that kept on right to the morning. Ministry of the Apostle Paul interrupted in the dark centuries, but restored in the end. And it's all around the person of the Lord Jesus and the truth of the assembly. And then we can be here together according to the instruction in the Word of God. And let that happen. Let your heart and mind be enthralled by the person of Christ, by the ministry of the Spirit of God, and especially as we come together in quietness, you know, around the Lord, we bow our heads, and then the Spirit of God just moves a hymn here, and a prayer there, and a verse here and there, just a symphony of hearts that He alone can produce. We can't make that happen. He makes that happen. If we're there, undistracted, by trust we come undistracted, attracted by Him alone. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. These I take, dear ones, as warnings ahead of time, not describing any particular situation. But I would say this. Let's take this to heart, dear ones. Verse 28. Acts 20, 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Paul said to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and the doctrine. Dear brothers and sisters, be careful. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Someone who hates the Lord Jesus, the one you're associated with, and he would love for you to dishonor his name, to hurt his cause, to hurt yourself or others. Be careful. Take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto yourselves. These were the leaders there in Ephesus. To all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And I've showed you all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Precious description of mutual affection, love in the Lord, and sweet fellowship. Yet, warning. Could we be careless? It says there were grievous wolves to enter among them, and their character would be not sparing the flock. May God grant us, dear brothers and sisters, those of us who are older and perhaps more active, maybe in the assembly or in service for the Lord, to never be as one who spared not the flock. These came from outside, so we need to be careful. But then it says in verse 30, of your own selves shall men arise. And you would think maybe he's talking to the elders, so say, you watch, or make sure, because somebody might. True. But you watch that mirror too, you know. You watch yourself. You just watch yourself. Knowledge puffeth up. You know, that was Satan's sin, pride. And when he sees that, when he manages to get that going in your heart and mind, oh, he's going to get a free ride as long as he can. And he's going to use this book. He's going to use truth. And you're going to find convinced brethren, absolutely convinced, from the Word of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, doing this. How could that happen? Has it happened in the past? It has. Will it happen in the future? God keep us. We don't need that. And I ask the Lord, God, keep me. And may he keep you. Take heed unto yourselves. Keep short accounts with the Lord. Stay close to him. And stay small. Small enough the Lord can use you. Well, they were going to draw away disciples after them. They were going to distract from the truth. And of course, distract from the Lord.
and distract from the truth and attract to themselves. Just a general word, dear ones, both to brothers and sisters. You know, this is an unconscious thing. But we like to be recognized. We like to be noticed. And don't worry, God knows you. He notices you. He knows you. He knows where you are. He knows your heart and He cares about you. Make sure that if you are attractive in any measure, physically or in any other way, make sure you're not distracting from the Lord. That's the bad part about being too attractive, because you might be distractive. I use this little picture and say, would you say to someone, don't look at the Lord Jesus on the cross, look at me? Don't look at the Lord Jesus in glory, look at me? Hey, we would never want to do that, would you? Well, let's not draw attention to ourselves. Let's draw people to the Lord. Let's not talk about ourselves. Let's talk about the Lord. He is truth. If we talk about Him with devotion in the Spirit, wouldn't people be drawn to Him? And if they're drawn to Him, won't we be closer? And if He draws people to Himself, won't He draw them, if we let them, to be around Himself at the Lord's table? Luke 22. At that table there with the Lord of glory. No heart to respond to His. And He said, one of you will betray me. And they all asked, is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Take heed to yourselves. Take heed unto thyself. Enjoy the wondrous privilege of being gathered to His name. Nothing like it on earth. To be around the Lord of glory. We can't show Him to you. We talked about that this morning. Not manifest, physically visible. No manifested glory. But you experienced it. I've experienced it. The Spirit of God just brings out the glories of that person. One aspect or another, relationship with the Father is just exhaustless from the precious pages of this book. Nothing planned, nothing organized, yet it just happens. Because God is living. He's living in us by His Spirit. The Lord Jesus lives for us in the glory. And He wants to encourage us along. He enjoys having us around Himself now. A privileged company, not a better company, a privileged company to whom He's revealed some secrets. They're not secret really because they're in the Word of God, but they've been revealed to you and me. I used this example, if I had a little boy and I had a little box there, and say I put a dollar in the little box, and I tell him I put a dollar in the box. And I asked somebody else over there, he didn't see me. I said, what did I put in the box? He doesn't know. He doesn't know. Nobody else knows. This little boy here said, what did I put in the box? Do you know? He knows. How come he knows? Is he smarter than everybody else? He's smaller than everybody else. He hardly can walk and speak. He's only 4 years old. But he knows what's in the box. And why does he know what's in the box? Because I told him what's in the box. And God has chosen to tell you about Him. And to tell you about how He wants us to be around Him It's all about Him, not about us. That's one last verse in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We had some verses about drawing away disciples, being drawn to other things away from the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, the beginning of the verse. Draw me, we will run after thee. Me, we thee. We can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. You can draw as close to the Lord as you want. You can rest your head on the bosom of the Son of God. You can say, like the Apostle Paul, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can you say that in faith and be indifferent? Be drawn to Him. Nobody loves you like Him, and nobody ever will love you like Him. He loved me and gave Himself for me. A woman of Samaria, she had many men in her life, many things wrong with her, but she met up with the Lord Jesus. And she said, "Come see a man. Come see a man." She went to the wees, the others, and she told them about the one she had met up with. And they came. And they believed because they heard him for themselves. But it was through her telling them, "Draw me." And there's going to be a we. There's going to be others affected around you if you draw up near to the Lord. That is my personal responsibility. That is your personal responsibility to be close to the Lord. And if you're close to Him, you're going to affect others in the right way. And if you're not close to Him, you might affect others in the wrong way. You might have been playing soccer outside that night in Egypt when it was such a solemn night. Careless, mind taken up with other things when it's just an important business was happening that night. This is an important business, dear ones, a business of concern for eternity, for those around us. Let's be serious. Let's be solemn. I like to laugh, and I don't mean you're not supposed to laugh. I have a good time. Enjoy those things that God has given us. Put in the sentiment of those things that belong to us. Knowing what times we're living in. And how soon the coming of the Lord is. But it says there, draw me and we. What are we going to do? We will run after thee. We're going to have that common object. It doesn't say we're going to run after him. That's third person. They're talking to the Lord. Draw me, Lord. And we're going to run after the talk. She's talking to the Lord. You talk to him. Get close to him. Listen to what he has to say to you about his love and what he's done. And it's going to affect you, and you're going to affect others.